जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 पुरंजना बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट 4 टेक्स्ट 14 एंड 15 सो टेक्स्ट 14 नशे के सोवितुम तत्रा पुरु कृच्छ्रोरुवे पतु गन्तुमैच्छत्ततो वृक्षा कोटरादिवसानलात् न शेके सोवितुं तत्र ಪುರುಕೃಚ್ರೋರುವೇಪತು ಗಂತುಮೈಚ್ಛತ್ತತೋ ವೃಕ್ಷ ಕೋಟರಾತ್ ಇವ ಸಾನಲಾತ್ ನಶೇಕೆ ಸೋವಿತುಂ ತತ್ರ ಪುರುಕೃಚ್ರೋರುವೇಪತು ಗಂತುಮೈಚ್ಛತ್ತತೋ ವೃಕ್ಷ ಕೋಟರಾದಿವಸಾನಲ. Ladies, please. Na, not. Sheke was able. Saha, he. Avitum, to protect. Tatra, there. Puru, very much. Kruchra, difficulty. Uru, great. Vepatuhu, suffering. Gantum, to go out. Aichat, desired. Tataha, from there. Vriksha, of a tree. Kotarat, from the hollow. Iva, like. Sa analat, on fire. Translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. Purport. It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there is a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burnt in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the life air. Next verse.
Sitilavayo yarhi gandharvair hrtapaurushah yavaner aribhirajan uparuddhorurodaha. The limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers, who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Being thus baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly. Purport. At the last stage of life, the different gates of the body are choked by the effects of disease, which are caused by an imbalance of bile, mucus, and air. Thus, the living entity cannot clearly express his difficulties, and surrounding relatives hear the sound ghura, ghura from a dying man. So he's expressing something, all the sound that comes out is ghura, ghura, because of the mucus and all of that. In his Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulashekara states, Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Adyeva Me Vishatu Manasa Raja Hamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kanthavaro Dhanavidhau Smaranam Kutaste. Quote, My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately so that the swan of my mind may be encircled by the stem of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up, how will it be possible for me to think of you? End quote. The swan takes great pleasure in diving within water and being encircled by the stem of the lotus flower. This entanglement is sporting joy. If in our healthy condition we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, may not come out. Ooh. Thus one may forget Krishna. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially when there is a signal from death. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have a rush of adrenaline right now, so it would seem like I'm speaking fast and a little animated. It's because from the morning this high activity in the kitchen, so I'm trying to consciously slow down. So stop me if you think I'm zooming through the purports, because I'm not only high on that, I'm also sort of excited. But so this serpent, that is the vital force or the subtle body of Puranjana, the five-hooded serpent, is being smashed by the enemies. And enemies are time, time's daughter called disease, and time's older brother called Prajvara, or the high fever at the time of death. So there is a severe burning sensation. And unfortunately, time didn't make a phone call to say that he was coming. He came unannounced. So when he is attacking King Puranjana and his city, the five-hooded serpent, who's called the superintendent of police, is trying to protect the country or the land, Panchala Desha, the land of the five senses. But he is realizing that all of Puranjana's soldiers have been defeated. And so he has no support. He has no way that he can fight against all these soldiers of Yavana Raja, time. And he is becoming aggrieved. In yesterday's verse, there is a word, anvatapyata, which means very much aggrieved. So in his difficulty, in his grief, he doesn't know what to do. He cannot protect the city of King Puranjana, and he is shouting in desperation, yelling loudly. And so Prabhupada describes that snakes cannot escape a forest fire. Other animals can, because they have long legs, they can run. But snakes, they have to slither on the ground. And they're, although they're fast, they're not as fast as the other animals that they can run away. And trees and grass and all the foliage on the ground gets completely charred. And so snakes also die in a forest fire. So this prajvara, this death, the fire of death, actually, is so intense that the subtle body or the vital force cannot escape it. And so he's in severe distress. And he says at the last stage of life, the limbs of the body are not as much affected as the life air. The limbs of the body become weak on account of disease. But the vital force is still active. But it cannot take help from the limbs of the body because they are weakened by disease. So the vital force or the mind is most agitated. And he's feeling helpless. He cannot do anything. The final moments are arriving. So the Gandharvas and the Yavana soldiers thoroughly defeated his strength. So the vital force has become weak. He's not able to fight the effect of disease and the high fever of death that is about to come. And although he is trying to express himself somehow, all the gates of the kingdom are choked because they're being attacked. So Prabhupada describes that the way somebody wants to express, someone on the verge of their death, wants to say something to their family members. I love you, or take care of the money, and don't give it to your youngest brother, he's a rascal. Whatever they want to say. They try, but all that comes out is ghura, ghura, ha, ha, ha. Because their whole esophagus is choked. They cannot speak. It's full of mucus. If they want to speak something, the air doesn't come out. Remember, the five-hooded serpent is represented by these five vital airs that circulate within the body, called prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. Only when these five airs are in equilibrium does the body function properly. If one of the airs is imbalanced, somebody cannot breathe. Somebody cannot breathe out. Someone cannot breathe in. Someone cannot move their limbs because one of the airs is messed up. So all they try is the expressing, oh, I want to say something. I want to say something very important, because at the time of death, a person knows he has the final moments and he wants to say something the most valuable in his life. What do they say mostly? Sorry. I love you, or, you know, like the things we listed. The money is in such and such place, make sure you don't squander it. Something. But nothing comes out. And because of that helplessness, he's in a very aggrieved, he says, began to cry loudly. Rurodaha. He began to cry very loudly. Helplessness. So I want to read something from the Bhagavad Gita that connects in principle to this. The reason, and then I'm going to come to this Krishna Tudiya Pada Pankaja verse. The reason Puranjana and his subtle body are in such distress is because the final moments have arrived and he has realized that all that he has done so far is useless. All that he has done so far is nothing but regrettable. And he's trying to redeem himself in the final moments, but he cannot. And that's why he's crying. The suffering is so intense. What is the suffering? That the subtle body, or the life force, wants to remain in this body. He's attached to this body. Because he is convinced, in this body, I can enjoy the most. I have worked very hard for this body. I've had so many children. They're all mine. I have so much money. I have such a beautiful wife. I have all these assets. How should I leave it? Why should I leave it at all? This is not fair. No! He's being yanked out of his body. But someone who's not attached to their body, who sees the body just as an instrument that takes him from one situation to another, will be like, okay, next body. Does any of us have an experience when we got our new shirt or jacket? We wear that every day. Anyone has that experience? I have. And that becomes the everyday thing, you know. It seems to, and we also buy it in such a way that it matches everything that we wear. And every day it's that jacket, my jacket, my jacket. And suddenly if there's a little tear, ah, my jacket. And the pain is as if, you know, we're bleeding. Nothing happened to us. It's because of attachment. And if you come to the Hare Krishna Sunday feast and you, most people forget their jackets here for some reason. So it's distress. Ah, my jacket. Call 3 times. Jitendra Prabhu, did you find it in the lost and found? Is it there? Can I come tomorrow and take it from you? It's my jacket. Like that. But there's attachment. And the attachment is the conviction that through that covering, I am extracting my happiness. If I did not have that, how can I be happy? So Krishna warns against such mentality. So this is the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 22. This is a fantastic verse for aspiring spiritualists to learn and recite again and again. It's a protection verse. Called Yehi Samsparsha Jabhoga Dukha Yonaya Evate Adiyantavanta Kaunteya Nateshu Ramate Buddha. So, word by word, Yehi Samsparsha Jabhoga. It says the sense of enjoyment comes as soon as there is contact between the senses and the object of the senses. Ah, so nice. Or look at something beautiful, or ah, so nice. Hear something very nice. What is the sweetest thing one can hear? Praise about oneself. There cannot be anything sweeter than this. What is the most bitter thing to hear? Praise about someone else. This is the most bitter thing. Anything about me, anyone praising me, honey. It's like nice honey being poured into my ear. So that's samsparsha ja. Ja means to be born of. So moment the senses contact the sense object, the sense of enjoyment is born out of it. But Krishna warns us, dukkha yonaya evate. Eva means certainly. So it's not like might be, perhaps, maybe. But Krishna is saying, eva, certainly, that happiness, that enjoyment that comes from the contact of the senses with the sense objects, dukkha yonaya. Yoni means the womb. Dukkha yonaya means that's the womb of all misery. Means from there on is misery after misery after misery after misery. It's not once. It's not like I contacted a sense object, I was not something or disappointed, and that's the end of it. It continues from there on. It's the beginning of all suffering. Dukkha yonaya evate. Why? Adi antavantaha kaunteya. Because any happiness or enjoyment that comes from contact of the senses and the sense objects as a beginning and an end. Sometimes the beginning and end are very close to each other. Sometimes they're a little separated. Sometimes separated quite a bit, but definitely ending. Even if one thinks, I have so much money, my money is only growing and growing and growing. What does it mean it's not ending? It will never end. Yes, Prabhuji, your life will end. Either the sense object will end or the sense itself will end. So he says, Nateshu ramate buddha. So those who are intelligent and wise will not take pleasure from such temporary, miserable contacts. In that purport, Prabhupada describes or gives us the definition of the word Rama. Ramante yogino anante. The word Ramana or Rama means pleasure. Rama means the source of all pleasure. Ramante, the yogis are fully relishing this pleasure in Satyananda Chidatmani iti Rama Padena Sau. From the word Rama or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's where they are taking pleasure from. Param Brahma Abhidhiyate. So there is a source of eternal happiness and there is a source of eternal misery. It looks like happiness. It's packaged as happiness. And the foolish cannot distinguish the difference between the real eternal happiness and the misery packaged as happiness. Most people go for packaging. I've spent years talking about packaging or analyzing packaging because manufacturers, they get their product and they realize that there are many such products and on the shelf, what makes a person buy my product is how nicely it is packaged. Because my product and my competitor's products really are not that different. Let's take laundry detergent. I mean, how different can laundry detergent be one from another? How different can it be? It's not. So they package it with some white color with blue sprinkles in it, supposed to be freshness, or some green sprinkles, and then put a package around it, bright colors, white clothes, the rainbows and spring flowers. Ah, you'll smell like, yes, this is what I want. Arey, this is nothing but detergent. It's just packaged nicely. But it's the packaging that's actually attracting. Or soap. What's the packaging for soap? It is soap. It is oil and some scrubbing thing. But it has a really good-looking man or good-looking woman walking around and all the little flowers coming from her and everyone's head turning. Ah, I want to smell like that. And interestingly, after we use the soap, we still stink. It's like, what? What's wrong with this picture? Nothing in our body odor is really pretty gross. We wonder. Then we buy another one. I didn't like this one, that one. But it's still something temporary, packaged nicely. This is what is illusion. Maya, that which is not. It is not happiness, it is packaged as happiness. So the wise, Krishna is warning us, that the wise do not go for the packaging. They are not fooled by the superficiality of things. They go for the real substance. The real substance is ananta, that which is not ending. I mean, only a fool will do something by which what they are looking for will end. I'm looking for happiness and I'm investing in something that will end. That is silly. It is so silly that it is laughable. And it is even more laughable because it is we who are doing it. So there's a warning, do not do it. Why? At the end of life, otherwise, we'll have to cry out loudly, in regret, in suffering, in thorough sense of failure that I haven't done with my life what I'm supposed to do. Because here in this purport, Prabhupada says, even after all of that, one may not remember. In our healthy condition, if we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, may not come out. Ooh. That's scary. May not come out. What will come out? Ghura, 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 ghura. Some noise, some sound. Chandamali Maharaj gives this funny... I can't deal with... I'm trying intentionally with my voice and speed of speech to make it seem heavy. Okay, so it's intentional. But we need a little pressure valve somewhere because it gets to it. So Chandramouli Maharaj narrates this about bad chanting. There was a bhakta who used to chant his rounds every day. At the time of his death, he was hoping, because he had read Ajamila's story, he was hoping the Vishnu Dutas will come. But two very ordinary looking fellows showed up. So he said, "Who are you?" So one person said, "My name is Rush Rush." And the other fellow said, "My name is Rum Rum." He said, "Why are you here?" So, "Well, all through your japa, you've been remembering us. So we are here for you." So just saying rush rush rum rum rush rush rum rum at the time of death, instead of four armed persons, you know, some person may show up. So even after all that, he said, you know. So the idea is, then Prabhupada gives us a little encouragement. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And there's a line after that, but I'll... So they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna. That means now, today, that when we have this opportunity of... doesn't matter how old we are. Right now, Krishna has given us the best opportunity with strong mind, strong senses. It may be a little weak in body because of age or whatever, but this is still the best opportunity because from here on, things are going to get worse. Nobody can say, no, 10 years later, things will be much better. Things are going to be worse. This is the time. So every day we have to invest in our sadhana. Every day invest in our japa. Every day invest in our relationships with devotees. Because these are the things, these are the activities that will help us remember Krishna. How we interact with the devotees, how we interact with the deity, how we interact with the mantra, how we interact with prasadam, how we interact with the paraphernalia of Krishna. Everything is paraphernalia. How we interact or what are the contemplations within our mind. So it's a very alert program. Bandhamoi Savadhanamate. The call is for being alert. The call is for being fully there to perform our sadhana, not some mechanical execution of daily activities. Or, as it said, just going through the motions. Just every day there, and the conveyor belt is going, and we're just sitting on it from one activity to another, one activity to another, and we don't really wonder, why am I not progressing in Krishna consciousness? Why is it so mechanical? Because we're not participating. So then Prabhupada says, especially when there is a signal from death. Is there anyone here in this room or online anywhere who has not had a signal from death? No. Each one of us has had a signal from death. What is that signal? The fact that we have a material body is a signal that is going to end. There is so much news about people passing away, relatives pass away, our own body is changing, and more importantly, the Bhagavatam. This is the signal from death for us. This is compassion. The lack of compassion would be, hey, learn it the hard way, figure it out. Going along in life and suddenly, I'm faced with death. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. One may be desperate, but not have the time. But the compassion in the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purports is Haribol. Now, this is a signal. The whole Puranjana story is a signal that it is coming. It will come for everyone. Only when, we don't know. It will come. Is the person prepared to face it? And when we face it, how to face it? This mood of Kulashekara, Krishna, Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam. Let my mind frolic and sport at the stem of your lotus feet. Let it be completely absorbed in the glories of your lotus feet, absorbed in your service, absorbed in your holy name, form, qualities, pastimes. Let it be completely absorbed, because let it happen now, and if I have to die now, great. Because who knows? King Kulashekara is saying, who knows? At the time of death, when my whole system is choked up, my throat is full of phlegm and mucus, kantavarodhana, smaranam kuta vidho smaranam kutaste. How can I remember you at that time? Now it's difficult for us to offer a prayer like this, because if we were to die now, we won't remember Krishna. I can say for myself. I shouldn't say we, I should say I. I cannot remember. So I'm being given this opportunity to the window of time. The signal's been given already. The very fact, at the moment we meet the bona fide parampara, the signal has been given. The first signal the parampara gives is, you are not this body. This body is going to end. You are an eternal person. Oh, the signal's already given. Anything after that is a tremendous bonus. So the signal's been given. Have I seen it? Have I heard it? Then the signal keeps coming again and again. Mercifully, again and again. So the idea is to live like that, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. So just a little to appreciate King Kulashekara's mood. King Kulashekara is one of the Alvars. Alvars means of these great personalities in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. Actually, the Alvars are avatars on this planet, Earth. They're all avatars of Narayana's weapons and paraphernalia. So Sudarshan Chakra takes the form of one Alvar, the Gada takes the form of another Alvar, the lotus takes the form of the another Alvar. All his paraphernalia manifest as his great personalities. And they have written this fantastic poetry glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. King Kulashekara is one of them. And King Kulashekara was so absorbed in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes that every day he would hear Ramayana. So King Kulashekara, I think, lived about 1,400-1,500 years ago. And Ramayana happened some millions of years ago. So one day when he was hearing this pastime, the event in the Ramayana is that Ravana has kidnapped Sita and Lord Ramachandra is desperately looking for her. And the description is that Lord Rama is crying, asking every animal, every bird, every leaf of a tree if they have seen where Sita is gone. Like he's crying piteously. And he has met Sugriva and Hanuman and they've all decided to gather this massive army of monkeys and bears. So when this was being narrated, King Kulashekara went into transcendental rapture. And he called his minister and said, "Gather the armies. We're all going right now to assist Lord Ramachandra. Get everyone ready." And the whole army was prepared. He personally came to inspect all the elephants and horses and chariots and soldiers. And they all knew Lord King Kulashekara. But nobody could say it to him. He was in such ecstasy. "Let's go, let's immediately gather all the army." And they didn't know where they were going. But he knew. "We're all going to assist Lord Ramachandra. Be ready, let's go." Excuse me. Then all his ministers, they discussed what to do. How do we stop our king? There is no enemy there. How are we going to, what do we say to him? And someone tapped him on, one of the ministers said, "I have an idea." He went to King Kulashekara and said, "My dear king, we just received word that Lord Ramachandra already has vanquished Ravana and he's just returning back with Mother Sita." "Oh, very nice. No need to go then. I'm very, okay, very good. Let's all go back." Oh, thank God. But every time he heard the pastime, he'd go into this rapture. "Get all the armies ready again. Oh, let's go, let's go." That was his mood. Such a person is saying, "How do I know at the time of death if I'll be able to remember you?" Oh, it's very grave. I mean, the idea is not to make us lose heart. Like if Kulashekara cannot remember, I just drop the towel, you know, and just say, "I'm done with it." That's not the message. The message is that the challenge is formidable. To remember Krishna at the time of death is not easy. But by Prabhupada's mercy, he's making it easy. How? Every day, one who's accustomed to chanting Hare Krishna. Every day remembering Krishna. In all our activities, that this is for Krishna's pleasure, this is for Krishna's pleasure, this is for Krishna's pleasure, this is for Krishna's pleasure. I accept something, this is for Krishna's pleasure. I reject something, it's for Krishna's pleasure. And it's not on the basis of what I like or I don't like. Sometimes, or many times, what is pleasing to Krishna is not at all pleasing to us. Humility, tolerance, forgiveness, they're not pleasing to us, but they're very pleasing to Krishna. Giving up false ego, giving up pride, they're also very pleasing to Krishna. They're not very pleasing to us. After all, why should I? They're not doing, why should I? But for Krishna's pleasure, that's what overrides everything else. I mean, that's the practice. It's not easy. Being humble is not easy. Very difficult. And even if we are successful one day, the very next day, punarmushika bhava, again become a mouse rascal. Because constantly there is something or the other that's acting. Krishna's training us. Challenge after challenge, event after event, situation after situation to help us consistently be humble, consistently be tolerant, consistently be forgiving, consistently be prideless. Whew. Yeah. Do you want me? So that's our exercise. And what is pleasing to Krishna above all of this is, my dear Krishna, I'm trying, but I'm very helpless. Please give me your mercy. Because all we can do is try, really. We cannot be perfect. We can only try to become perfect. Because perfection is a gift from Krishna. And our story doesn't have to be Puranjana's story. Our vital force or the superintendent of police of our body doesn't have to cry out loudly like this. That's why it's being narrated in the first place. Narada is warning Prachini Barhishat, hey, your situation might be just like this. Because Puranjana is actually you. Okay. Some, you want to add something? Comments? Questions? Yeah, Ashraya Prabhu, Rakthak Prabhu. Would you like Bhagavad Gita? You can change the page.
In the fifth chapter, there is this verse where Krishna is saying that one, Srila Prabhupada was discussing that one who works in devotion, who's a pure soul, who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone's dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. So that aspect of how we're not entangled is something that I would like to understand better. The statement that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport is, because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he's very dear to everyone, and because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. And then because he's pure in consciousness, his mind is controlled. So that part's easy to understand, but how exactly to understand that because everyone is satisfied by his work, he's pure in consciousness?
Dhira dhira jana priyau priyakarau nirmatsarau pujitau. The six Goswamis were dear to the sober and the rascals. In their footsteps in the Bowery, when Srila Prabhupada used to stay in the beginning, right outside his apartment were, you know, drunkards sprawled on the floor. And they wouldn't hesitate to punch anyone. But a moment Srila Prabhupada would come, even in their stupor, they would move aside and let the saintly man pass. Because they don't feel threatened. Generally, if you look at an animal or an insect, as soon as the presence of a human being happens or takes place, that animal immediately runs away. There's a rabbit or a roach or a fly or whatever that animal is. As soon as the human being appears, because every living entity carries envy in their heart. And that envy is sometimes manifest fully or triggered, but it is there. Like, one may not be too bothered by a roach, but if the roach is crawling on their food or something, or if a mosquito lands on them, immediately, because of envy. How dare you bite me? I kill you. In the case of snakes and scorpions, that envy doesn't have to be triggered. It is just there. So it's said that in the Shastras describe that there are two entities that are most envious. Snake and an envious person. And the worst of the two is the envious person. Because a snake can be charmed by mantra or certain music, but the envious person cannot be placated. So the nature of envy is such. But a saintly person doesn't carry that envy. He's called Vimanyava. He has no anger, because envy is manifested generally as anger. He doesn't have that. Vimanyava. He will even give Krishna consciousness to the worst enemy who has full animosity towards him. He will try to give him Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, for example. So the word is, how are they satisfied? Hiranyakashipu was not satisfied with Prahlad. Yeah, it's an extreme condition of materialism counteracted by, you know, good consciousness. But generally they understand that this person has nothing to gain from me. This person is the saintly person. Has nothing to gain from me. He's not here to exploit me. So either I serve them, stay out of the way. Generally, that's the mode. Generally. I mean, there are cases like, you know, where Haridas Thakur was challenged. But there's transformation. Hiranyakashipu was challenging.
He got transformed too.
Oh, yeah, in a different way. But like that. That they can sense that the saintly person doesn't have envy. When Ratnakar, before he became Valmiki, he accosted Narada, ambushed actually, and told him, I'm going to cut off your fingers. Narada didn't protest. Yeah. But Narada actually gave him transcendental life right after that. Even when he was in danger, it didn't matter to Narada. Like that. Raktak Prabhu, then Jitendra Prabhu and Vaibhav. Now we have to stop.
Thank you for the class this morning.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I had a true test this morning for my humility.
Oh?
Yeah, like when I, you know, went down to the lobby to clean up. The men's room was really like a bomb hit it. And it was like, I mean, it was like...
What was like a bomb?
Like the men's room. It was
men's
like,
room.
It was like somebody came in there deliberately and messed it up. And I thought in my mind, was somebody angry with me or were they angry with the temple? And I just wondered about it. Instead of getting angry, I started to get angry about it, but then I started laughing. And it said, it's Krishna's mercy. And then I just started cleaning up, and then became fun to clean the place up. It was,
wow.
But it could have turned into to an opposite situation, whereas I could have been angry and grudgingly clean up everything. But
I'll say something that, not about your service. Generally, we think that the test is when someone says something bad about us or does something bad to us. That we have to exhibit humility when someone says, you're a rascal. Oh, yes, Prabhu. The more difficult test is when someone praises us. To be humble at that time, oh, it's really challenging. Or when someone appreciates our service, to remember Krishna at that time is even more challenging. In difficulty, yeah, because Krishna says, someone who's in distress will come to me, or may come to me. But one who's samsparshaja bhoga. Because it is said, right? In the second chapter, bhoga ishwarya prasaktanam. Such a person who's attached to enjoyment and happiness in the material world, samadhona vidyate, his mind cannot come to Krishna. It's just not possible. So that's a bigger test.
Thank you.
Jitendra Prabhu.
I was thinking about people that can be charmed, and you said an envious person can't be charmed, and I was thinking...
No, I said a snake can be charmed.
Oh yeah, but the envious person can't be charmed.
So can be. I cannot be.
Yeah,
even an envious person.
He cannot be charmed.
He cannot be charmed.
And I was thinking of when they were trying to end World War II, they had this thing called the Yalta Treaty, and they had Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin. And they tried to charm Stalin, but they couldn't charm him. So they felt that he was so cold-hearted, but, you know, the things that he did, he, like, killed 20 million of his own people. So that was kind of a reflection there, you know. Mm. And another thing is, I remember talking to this lady I knew, and she says, you know, women aren't so threatened being around gay men because they know they're not going to hit on them. So I thought that was, you know, you're talking about people being threatened, you know. You know what I'm trying to say?
No. No, I know what you're trying to say.
Okay, it just came up, you know, the psychology of the human being.
Vaibhav, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, in that verse, there was a mention that a snake, in a forest fire, a snake, it dies, the probability that it dies is more and then an animal because it can escape the fire.
Hmm.
And so I was like trying to understand, how, is this related to the a man dying in old age and a man dying in the young age?
No. These animals that flee, that have long legs, the analogy is that the limbs of the body are not so much in distress as the subtle body is in distress, because the sense of pain, the sense of suffering is all actually in the mind. One man's food is another man's poison. Somebody can touch this and say, someone can say, ah, so nice. But the perception is, the sensation is in the mind. So Prabhupada is teaching that at the time of death, the mind is in the most aggrieved condition. The senses may not be in so much grief. The mind is suffering. Actually, the suffering is, that's where it is. Gokulananda Prabhu discussed this 2 days ago, and I think yesterday Jai Jagannath Prabhu discussed the distress of the mind. Vaishnava Sevananda and Saumya, and then we'll end because it's getting right. Go ahead. Vaishnava Sevananda Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. You spoke a lot about leaving the body. Is there a most auspicious way to leave the body? Because in Nectar of Instruction speaks of leaving the body at Radha Kund, like aspiring for that. Is that still, I mean, is there something that's to be thought of or aspired? Yeah. Like, I want to leave my body living in the temple, or I want to leave my body at Radha Kund, or I want to leave my body surrounded by devotees. Is there anything?
Wonderful. Well, there is validity to it. There is aspiration. And great personalities went to Vrindavan, Mathura, Mayapur to leave their bodies. Because the Shastra says leaving the body in a holy place means it reminds us of Krishna. But there are also great persons who didn't leave their body in a holy place, but still left their body in a very glorious manner. I'm thinking of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in a contemporary situation. He said, I specifically want to leave my body in Gita Nagari because I want to die on the battlefield. Meaning, while rendering service, I want to leave my body. So the aspiration is, let me remember Krishna somehow or the other at the time of leaving the body, however it might get manifested. For some people it happens that they are in the holy place, for some people when they are out of the holy place, for some people in the morning, in the evening, afternoon, night, whatever, suddenly, with some warning, without any warning, something. But the true thing is, the true perfection is Ante Narayana Smriti, to somehow remember Lord Narayana or Krishna's name. Alright? Saumya? You want to share one incident from yesterday? Wonderful, please do.
We were walking, me and Rasika Manjari Mataji, we were walking to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Afternoon time, 10:30. So, green leaf, we were walking and speaking something. We saw a snake just crawling from the grass. We were like, I'm like so scared about that. I was like, loudly like, shouting like something and the snake also scared or something, just it came and chuk, it went immediately inside. So I was thinking, I could not remember Krishna that moment.
But you scared the snake.
So I was realizing later, it's so hard to remember Krishna that moment.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Can you please turn it off? I have something to say. Was it turned off?